Hey, Adam, do you know what I did this week?
Watched a movie?
Well, I did. I watched a couple football. Of films, but no, specifically, yeah, I did do that as well. I did actually do that today. Any other guesses?
Had a hot chocolate.
I actually did have a hot chocolate this week.
Oh, okay.
Just the one from the Velvetizer. Very tasty. Guess more.
Okay. Had some sort of melted cheese.
Yeah. I mean, several times I had melted cheese. Just very recently, within the last 2 hours, I've had melted cheese. That one's easy, though. You know that one's going to be true.
Well,
you know, like the TV show Pointless, where they're trying to get the answer that has no one else's guessed. What if you, can you go for broke now? Guess something you think I've done in the last week that isn't easy, like melted cheese.
Went for an hour long walk.
I mean, I didn't do that.
Okay, yeah, but that's why I went. Okay, you told me to do a thing, and I
no. It could have happened.
You might
could have
possibly
happened.
if the old ball and chain.
I think I've gone for a 40-minute walk with the ball and chain.
Oh, okay,
so but I'm, not a 60, oh, not a 60.
Okay, I should have said half an hour. Half an hour would have been swinging for the fences. Let's be honest. Put me out of my misery. What have you done this
week?
Well,
I had a transformative experience this week. I spent some time with someone I've known for a long time, but I saw them in a new light.
Oh, for God's sake. You know? Fuck's sake.
I thought I knew everything that this guy had to give.
Oh, my God.
And I thought, I've completed this guy. I still want to hang out here because I love this guy and I love the completed pattern work that I'm looking at, the mosaic of fun that I enjoy dedicating some of my life to. But the mosaic, that's all there is to find, right? Yet nay. Dig a little deeper and it turns out that there's more pristine mosaic to be found.
I mean,
the light I refer to, of course, very specifically, is the spotlight.
Right.
The spotlight that shone bright around my friend Adam Richmond on stage in London, South London, not North London, let's not get carried away, South London.
Right, okay.
North London's to come, I'm sure, but not for some time. And there were at least 18 other people, strangers in the room, all laughing away, guffawing at Adam Richmond's second ever live stand-up comedy gig. Wow, what a terrific success, what a great achievement it was. He went up there merely as my friend, and he came back down as my friend, the amateur stand-up comedian, who's actually very good at it. The room shone on him. He only lost the competitive element of this night to a hilarious Japanese man.
So
there's no harm in that.
He was amazing. That guy.
He was amazing. He was amazing.
I'm so annoyed because I was there and I'm annoyed that I didn't think that this is where you were going. I mean, it's really,
yeah, that's where I was.
Really
going.
Frustrating.
You were there.
Yeah, but then...
Also, you know I don't do anything in the week. That's the only thing I've done in the week, obviously.
Yeah, no, you've really pulled my pants down.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you pulled your own pants down. That was what got you the biggest laugh on the stage. small penis.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, it's very funny. And do you know what? I thought after the first one, I thought, wow, what a great achievement. That's really funny. I don't think we really explored in too much depth last time, and I'll keep it a little light. But what Adam did the first time was something unusual for someone to do their first time on stage. And what Adam did the second time was a continuation of what Adam did the first time on stage. After the first time, I thought, wow, what a great achievement, you know, tick that off the bucket list. After the second time, I'm thinking, hang on a sec. Am I going to be the cool guy in this podcast relationship for much longer? Or is my co-pilot here the old guy who's only really there to fly the plane when I have my inevitable heart attack? Maybe he's just going to start flying the plane and I'll pop my feet up and I'll start eating those little cubes of cheese they bring around, and I'll have the plastic cup that makes the horrible noise with the ice that's brought to you by the people who work on the aeroplane craft, you know?
Who the fuck do you think wants to hear this? You say nice things about me.
That's my driving force.
Right. I've just struggled to understand where this sits in our show.
It's right at the very beginning. We've only just started. At least like I can hold on to the being in charge of the job of podcast structure for a bit longer, by the sounds of it. But perhaps not being the funny guy here for very much longer. Although it's hard to know how much of the physical effects is required for for your comedy, isn't it? Because there's something that's very funny listening to you and your ideas. Also quite funny to look at. That's the other thing.
Hi. Welcome to the movies you forgot you.
Hi.
Because the thing is, I leave a longer pause now.
I know.
So there's not like a delay anymore.
No.
But you're deliberately pretending like there is a delay.
Not necessarily. You couldn't prove that in a court of law. Maybe a court of public opinion.
Hi.
But
welcome to the movies you
forgot. Damn it.
Hi. Welcome to the movies you forgot podcast.
Hi.
There he comes.
Yeah.
With me, your host, Adam Richmond. This is the show in which we chat about the movies we'd forgot we'd even seen in the first place, or films. I am always joined by, he's ever present, he's always there, he's the best, he's the
best. I'm the ghost at the feast.
He's the ghost at the feast, it's Mr. Joe Devine.
The mest. Simply the mest. Hello, all right?
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good, man, pretty good. I'm excited about today.
Today is a different kind of episode. We are going to chat about some of the movies we've just watched in our regular lives. They're not movies we forgot, they're movies that we watched.
Yeah.
And then we're going to rattle through big time. This is the thing to listen to. Skip ahead, it's listener emails. It's Ooh. So rare we do that. But listen, if you emailed in and you're listening now, chances are, you know? So.
Yeah, chances are.
Chances are. Joe's driving this big old bad boy. And I'm going to pop it into cruise control. I'm going to pop it into divine control.
You're still in the driving seat. You're not letting me into the pedals. You've popped it on cruise control. The highway's clear and I'm just reaching over you to grab the steering wheel and hold it steady. That's basically what's happening.
Well, we're in like one of those cars that's got two driving wheels. And you're the learner in the main. And I'm the instructor on the other side. And I've got the pedals and I've got the steering wheel. Right. And anytime I decide I don't like it, I'll seize the wheel.
I think that's kind of exactly true, except you think we're in the other seats than we're in.
Right.
That's actually a really good description of the normal podcast, except you're the learner and I'm in the instructor's seat. Oh. And I let you drive. I'm one of those cool parents that's like, yeah, don't worry about it. If you scratch the car up a bit, it's no big deal because all I care about is you, not this material thing. Whereas you think you're the parent and you're one of those parents that grabs the wheel anytime like there's a person within a mile of the car. You know, that's who I am and that's who you are. Yeah? Yeah?
Hit me.
Well, the first, I've got like a number of films here that I've seen since last we spoke. I'm just going to pick up from the beginning of December. Something I watched that I assume you have seen. That I'm going to say I didn't really enjoy it loads, but my wife did, was The Wild Robot, because she's a big fan of the book, and she wanted to see the film we stuck it on early December. I assume you've seen this with your children?
I would love to have seen it with my children. I tried to get them to watch it last weekend. I say them, it was the older one. I said, The Wild Robot is on at my local cinema. It's on the kids' club. It would be like £3 a pop.
Oh.
Please, can we go and see this? She wouldn't have it. I don't like to rule with an iron fist. I don't like arguments.
Well, she might have done you a solid here.
Did you not like it?
I don't know. I didn't really like it that much. And I quite like a lot of these animated family films. I thought there were moments of real sweetness in it, as you would expect.
It's about a robot looking after a duck, right?
Sort of, yeah. It's basically set in a kind of dystopian future. And at the very beginning of the film, there is, I can't remember, it's a plane, I think it's a plane crash. And on this little random island in the middle of nowhere, a deserted island only with wildlife on it. And out of the box, one of the boxes that was cargo on this plane, emerges one of these robots, and it instantly kind of bonds with this tiny duckling that it finds. Unfortunately, the big box coming out of the plane crash, it crashed the nest. It killed the mother and the other little ones. And the only unhatched little runt of the litter was this duck. Bonds with it because the robot initially thinks that the duck is its new owner, you know, and then said hijinks occur.
It's a very convenient beginning to a story.
A convenient conceit.
It's this. It's like a lot of, and then also this has yeah. to happen. Also,
that might be the way I told it.
No,
but,
the rest of the family had to die. But then also, it's the nature of the AI robot that it also imprints on the first thing it sees. Oh, sure. Really? Wow, that's sure. convenient. I mean, I know yeah. it's a kid's movie, but Jesus fucking hell.
That kind of happened. I mean, I'm actually probably doing a bit of a disservice because the robot actually goes around the jungle and tries to find if anyone bought it and all the animals are afraid of it and runs away. But then this little duck thing
right.
isn't really that afraid of it, you know. But then the duck isn't accepted when it grows by the other ducks because its mother is a massive robot. And so it's about learning how to, as a cast of... outcasts together, along with a sort of a naughty little fox, how the three of them kind of make a little family and try to teach the... I thought the whole thing was going to be, there's this, you know, the storyline kind of picks up towards the end of Act 1. The duck needs to learn how to fly in time to migrate for the first season, right? Like, that's the big risk. If it stays on the island, it's going to die.
Right, fly away home.
And so the robot has this task. It's like Fly Away Home. Great movie. You've got to get the duck to fly... no, Mum, it's a shit little runty duck, you know, whatever.
I wish the film was called It's a Shit Little Runty Duck.
It's a shit little runty duck with like a kind of, amusing robot parent. And I thought, well, this is great. This is the perfect conceit for a film, you know, oddball characters. And they'll work through the journey. They'll have a bit of a training montage. The duck will show its stripes, you know. And everything will be fine. Turns out that was just like the story of Act One.
I was going to say, like modern movie making, you've already done this where you've said, oh, we all know about story these days. We already know about story. Your head, yeah. You've already told that story, and now modern movies are like, right, that's Act One. So then right. Act One, and then what? And then it spirals off into fucking
Then it's just rubbish, man. It's like robots come back to get this other robot, and then they're like just killing everything, and then everyone fights all the robots, and it's just dumb. I think you had the perfect conceit for a film. I don't mind in a child's film, a family film, if I feel like I know what the story is. Just keep it really simple.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, I was super into it, and then as soon as I realized that was happening, it just kind of ejected me from my enjoyment palace, my enjoyment throne, and I, you know, kind of sat through impatiently through the rest of the film.
A lot of movies are about these kind of found families, aren't they? We just watched Boogie Nights, and then you've watched the kids' equivalent, haven't you? It's no longer about,
yes, I
like,
have.
You know, the family you are born into. I think the given of narrative cinema is the family you're born into are fucked and horrible.
Yeah.
But you can find true connection through surrogacy or adoption. I mean, adopted families, not like literally adoption. You know, that's fine. That all works.
No, I think I think it's because there are a lot of people that have these experiences where they don't maybe feel quite at home with their family, so they're drawn to write stories like this one. But also there's a huge captive audience for it because of the number of people that feel this way. And so I think it's the sort of a story setting that just keeps paying off and paying off.
No one wants to see a story about a happy, normal nuclear family anymore these days, do they?
These days.
These
no, they
days.
Don't. Not these days.
No, not these days.
What's that? That's basically just... what's that Christmas one where he goes, oh, George, you've set up a great blank here, George. You know, what's that one?
It's a Wonderful Life. I get why you cover your bets if you make a film whereby there's a kind of a broken family at the beginning, a dead parent. Most Disney or Pixar movies begin with the mum dying, for example, or whatever. You know, there's some strife.
Well, there's Alabambi. Some,
yeah, Alabambi. Alabambi. Sorry.
Alabambi. 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 Oh, that's good.
Played by Lou Diamond Phillips. And then also, and then they take that and then you map that onto the more grown-up versions of those stories. And they're the ones, they're the ones that connect with people, with the most people, because most people are probably going to be from some kind of dysfunctional family.
Sure.
And my only problem with those movies is I never found and don't understand this whole adopted family thing. You know, I watched Boogie Nights, I've already talked about this. Mm. I just think, I watched that and I go, I don't get this. I never met this kind of crazy little hub of weirdos that welcomed me in and said, hey come here, don't worry about it. You see, and Almost Famous as well, like, oh,
you're saying this to me, I am one of those weirdos for you.
No, we're just mates, mate. We just met down the fucking pub. Don't romanticize
more.
It no, it's pathetic.
It's bigger than that.
What else have you seen, Joe?
Well, apart from Wild Robot, what else I've seen? I mean, obviously, we talked about Swingers. I watched The Holiday over Christmas. I rewatched Spy. That's quite funny. Do you remember Spy?
With Melissa McCarthy and Jason Statham.
Yeah, yeah.
Has it stand up?
It does stand up. It's quite good. Jude Law's American accent, as discussed previously, is bad. But Jason Statham's really funny in that film. Melissa McCarthy is super top form. And there's a great line in it I wrote down, where Melissa McCarthy describes Rose Byrne's character as if she's dressed like a slutty dolphin trainer, which really made me laugh out loud because it was very accurate of her dress.
I tried watching Jason Statham in The Beekeeper.
What's The Beekeeper? Oh, wait, someone's explained this to me before. He's actually a beekeeper, right?
I explained it to you. He's a beekeeper, but he also belongs to... He's formerly of a... It's like some subsection of the government called beekeepers, and they look after the world.
It's so confusing that he's both a beekeeper and also he was a beekeeper. It's like, it just feels like you wouldn't be, if you worked as a beekeeper for the government, you wouldn't be a beekeeper in real life because it's too on the nose, isn't it?
It is. And also, it's what's so frustrating about it. And I did have to stop watching it after 25 minutes because I realised how short my life is. And it was ending 1 minute at a time. It could have been the equivalent of a film like Spy. It could have been a Naked Gun movie if they had any backbone. But as it was, it was just a straight down the line, just really shit action movie. Like a kind of a John Wick, but made for tuppence and just horribly scripted. And I know that there'll be people who will say, oh no, it's supposed to be ludicrous. It's deliberately bad. And I find that mode of thinking the most infuriating. It makes me so angry.
Right.
I like a Steven Seagal movie from the 80s. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no fun in my life. But the idea that there's a modern movie that is so appallingly made with so much disregard to storytelling and character, and it's so cynical, there's nothing fun about it. You can't laugh with it. The people who are making it with a deadly serious, horrible look in their eye. And so it's just like, fuck this film, fuck people who think it's funny. And so, you know, I just had to turn it off. That's the end of that.
Okay, well, don't watch The Beekeeper then. Here's another one. I watched the film 65, which I think you watched some of as well, right? Adam Driver, alien kind of, but he's the alien and then it's dinosaurs.
I saw that at the cinema.
Did you?
I went to see that at the cinema.
I'm so sorry.
I know, because I'm a fan of the guys who they wrote the script for Quiet Place.
Right.
Quiet Place.
Uh-huh. A Quiet Place, that is a film.
That was directed by John Krasinski. And then So then they wrote and directed 65, and then they recently wrote and directed Heretic as well. But 65 is a fucking shambles.
It's not great, is it? It's got some good ideas in it. The main one being that humans existed on another planet many, many millions of years ago, and there's a crash landing of a couple of them, Adam Driver, and then the child of these people who've died. They have to make it across old Earth in order to get to another escape pod. But it transpires that, they're on Earth in the whatever, in the Cretaceous period or something. And it's quite a fun idea. And Adam Driver's really,
He's decent in it and good.
It's one of those ones where you sort of think, like, I'm not really that clear what's so bad about the film. But it's not good. It's not good.
I'm clear on what's so bad about it. It's ostensibly a dinosaur movie, and the dinosaurs take too long to turn up.
Yes.
It presents a
and their weakness is guns.
That's great. Dinosaurs, and then you give the guy a gun. I was going with that movie for quite a lot, and then I just decided, this is stupid. get fucked.
Then you exploded it like an asteroid explodes Earth.
Yeah, and I was like, this just happens to be the day when the asteroid arrives.
Yeah.
Nice one. Why bother?
Nice one, yeah. Well, I guess, that made it exciting and gave this some stakes to the ending, even though it didn't really matter, did it? Didn't really matter at all.
Oh, you're about to be eaten by a dinosaur. Oh, but hang on a sec, as if the stakes weren't high enough, there's also a giant fucking asteroid that's going to destroy the planet.
Yeah.
Oh, what?
That is, it's got wild robot syndrome a little bit, hasn't it? Modern movie syndrome. I call it the Marvelization of movies.
You call it that.
I call it that. Yeah. That's me that calls it that.
Yeah, no, I haven't heard it. I haven't heard that before. Wow, you've taken the word of like a movie studio.
Yeah.
And then
you've
added ization on the end of it.
Yeah.
Created a wow.
Well, I've used this format before. I used to say of animated films and how they got much funnier every. That's the pixelization of
pixelization.
That doesn't work.
Go try it again.
It's the Disneyfication. You can add a fication as well.
Fication,
or not just. It doesn't have to be an ization. It can be a fication, depending on how the word ends.
What else have you seen, Joe?
I finally watched The Batman, Adam. The Batman with Robert Pattinson playing the Batman.
Directed by Matt Reeves.
Directed by Matt Reeves with Gollum as Michael Caine. And I thought... And
Paul Dano as the Riddler. You hadn't seen it.
I hadn't seen it. No.
You're so late to this party.
Very late. Very late. I watched it on Christmas Day.
This party where no one was even at this party. No one even cared.
No, I mean, I think, lots of people, the thing about this film, right, is that it went like this. It went, they're doing another Batman film. And everyone went, okay. I think Christopher Nolan's done that. I don't know if anyone's mentioned, but that's done already. You don't need to do that again. And they go, no, they're doing another one. And you go, fine. And then they go, Robert Pattinson's Batman. And you go, really? That doesn't make a lot of sense. But you go, okay.
That got me hard.
That got you hard?
Yeah.
Okay. And then what happened was the trailer came out with that Nirvana song on it, and everyone went, oh, I didn't realise there was a level darker than Nolan. I thought the Joker was, I thought Heath Ledger's Joker was as dark as it got. But this incredible music makes me feel the kind of nihilism that I didn't know I could experience before, And a lot of young people was thinking, sing it in the background. Yeah.
Something in the way. Ooh.
Yeah, the lyrics to that song are so stupid, aren't they? They're like, underneath the bridge, something in my fish is, and like something is dripping from the ceiling. I can't eat all of my fish because they don't have any feelings. I'm like... Something in the way. It hits back in with that chorus again. You go, yeah, Kurt. It is a great song. Great song.
It's small caveat, small cul-de-sac. I just rewatched for the first time in 20 years, 24-Hour Party People. And one of the funniest recurring gags in that is Steve Coogan as Tony Wilson. He keeps referring to he keeps referring to Sean Ryder, the lead singer of the Happy Mondays, as a modern day poet who's as good as Lord Byron, isn't it? Or Shelley? Yeats. He's the Yeats. He's the modern day Yeats. He's the modern day. I always say Yeats. Is it Yeats?
I think it's Yeats. I'm pretty sure it's Yeats.
W.B. Yeats. Okay, so he goes. Yeah. No, he's the modern W.B. Yeats. It's the lyrics are, you know, I don't know. Fuck, you're twisting my melon, man. So anyway, Kurt Cobain, modern day W.B. Yeats.
Yeah, absolutely. Hold on, let me just get the lyrics for you.
Here we go.
Underneath the bridge. I'm going to read like a normal person, okay? Underneath the bridge. This is the underneath the bridge. Tarp has sprung a leak. Okay. You got a problem there with your tarp. You got to fix that. I assume that means you're living in a tent. And the animals I've trapped have all become my pets. That's what Kurt says. I'm living off of grass and the drippings from my ceiling. It's okay to eat fish because they don't have any feelings. Something in the way. You know? And that's the whole song. The second verse is just the same as the first verse. You know? Exactly. And I think the bit is about the fish, because they must be tasty.
So, you know? So in the timeline, people saw that trailer.
They got really excited, which is fair enough, because you don't, until you see Robert Pattinson with makeup on his face, sort of in the dark to the song Something in the Way by Nirvana, you don't realise that it's a good idea. It's funny, I watched a little video. Was it Matt Reeves, you said, was the director's name?
Mm.
Matt Reeves was talking about using that song, and he said he likes to write to music. So he had some music on in his house while he was working on the Batman film script. And then Something in the Way came on, and he just suddenly thought, oh, wow, this is the song for the film. This is it. So he just put it on over and over again and kept writing. And then they used it in the film, obviously. And it's very effective. Really.
That's why the film is so fucking dreary.
Sure. It is very long. It's very, very long. That's one thing I will say. I had to split it into two. And I watched the second half like quite late on Christmas Day in bed on my phone. But I really enjoyed the first half. I thought it was like, you know, I really enjoyed the young Batman vibe. I thought Pattinson was quite convincing. I didn't love like the updated social attitude, but then that might just be because I'm an old dickhead, you know. I also thought Gollum was a decent Alfred, kind of okay. The Penguin, very convincing. I can see why people would have enjoyed watching the Penguin TV series with that character there.
Yeah, it's a pretty good TV series. And Farrell he's pretty fantastic as the old Penguin.
Pretty good, right? The other two antagonists, Paul Dano as whatever that guy was, the Riddler?
Riddler.
Was it? I just didn't care about that at all. I kind of wished he wasn't in the film. Very boring to me.
It's very Seven, the whole
thing.
Yeah,
it's like, quite Seven.
Seven. His performance is very Seven. He is a fantastic actor. I think he's not in enough stuff.
Paul Dano?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's amazing. Amazing actor.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's what I said. Okay.
I thought you were saying that I was not saying that. I'm agreeing with you. Yeah. Going, he's amazing. Regardless of what I just said about him in the film, I think he's one of the best actors out there.
Right, and so it should all fit.
Yeah.
And then there's just something
in the way.
Something in the way. But yeah, sorry. And then who else? What were you going to say?
Well, I mean, just at the very end, they preview that Barry Keoghan is going to be the Joker in the next film. And I don't care for that.
No, me neither. He won't be, I think.
Really? That seems like a weird thing to do if they didn't use him.
Well, it's already huge, like it's been years later. They're not even close to filming it, mate. I bet it doesn't even get made.
Right.
I'm going on record. All the scuttlebutt. I think, because since it got made, James Gunn took over the DC, he took over the whole DC, and he's got a whole different, he's got a whole vision for it. And Matt Reeves, the Batman, I don't think fits in it.
Right. I see.
So
what a shame.
Yeah. And I don't think it made huge amounts of money. And I don't think anyone would really care if we don't see the next one.
And they'd have to use the song again. They couldn't not use the song. And then it's like, you start to think, is this actually good or is it just a good song with a good music video, you know?
Yeah, it's just a good song, isn't it? So,
well done to everyone involved, either way.
What else have you seen?
I mean, so much. I'm just going to buzz through a couple of things here. I watched Your Name, which was your recommendation to me from the end of year podcast, and once before. Very nice. Felt like I'd seen it before. Old towns disappearing. That was fun. The Japanese prog rock. I really loved that. So thanks for that as a recommendation, Adam.
I bristle at the word nice. That film makes me cry every time I see it.
Yeah.
I wait a number of years between viewings, you know, so I'm fully ready to pop properly.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm not just going to waste a viewing. I'm not just going to, let's just put on Your Name in the background.
Right.
You know, it's a special film. Do you know what I mean?
I do. It didn't quite grab me in the way that it grabs you, but I really liked it, and I can see why it would tickle you so, you know.
No, I just feel sorry that you saw it at the wrong time. You could maybe watch it again at the right time.
What would be the right time? Because I watched it on, I don't know, Boxing Day. I watched it on Boxing Day.
In life. So I think you've got a few years to go before you actually see it at the right time. It's not about the right time of day, mate, sometimes.
No, 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 no.
It's about the right time in life. So.
Yeah, okay. I'll try it again in a few years and see if I've improved at all. Apart from that, I watched The Holdovers. Loved the line, Rancid Little Philistines. That was very funny. Not cloying at all. Really liked it. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that I waited to watch it, because the last time we talked about it was when it kind of got caught, that it got caught up in the weird writing scandal, like the plagiarism question. And I, you know, I wasn't fond of that notion, so I'm glad that I waited a year, watched it over Christmas. Really good, worth watching. Don't care where it got anything from. I like that it did. So well done.
I got caught in the whole Oscar stuff for me. I saw it at the cinema. Would it have been 2 years ago?
I think it was only a year ago.
Because I chatted about it. I came back and I'd seen it.
Yeah.
And I went, this should have made me cry. It didn't make me cry. That was my whole thing about it.
Didn't make you cry, huh?
No, that my thing about it was it should have made me cry, but it didn't. And then I rewatched it over Christmas with my wife, who hadn't seen it.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's eminently watchable. It's very good. It's very minor.
Yeah.
I don't know whether this is the film I said, a minor key pop song is still a pop song, but it applies. Alexander Payne, I really rate him as a writer-director. I really love Sideways. I think it's great. Election's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
This just feels like the most mainstream Alexander Payne movie ever. And it's deliberately like, oh, you think I'm going to go for the jugular? No, I'm just going to go.
Yeah, it's very low-key, isn't it?
I'm going to give you, I felt a bit like, yeah, this is all really impressive and blah, 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 but...
You wanted the jism. You wanted the explosion.
No, I just think it's as hacky as something that deliberately makes you cry. It's a formula. And,
he's got it down.
Yeah. And that's
sweet like Coca-Cola, you know?
It doesn't impress me when someone just like plays their fucking pop song.
That makes sense though, because I've been out with you. And sometimes we'll go to the pub, or we'll go to a shop and we'll get a couple of cold ones, and you know, we'll have a couple of Coca-Colas, and I'll drink it and I'll think, that sweet syrupy taste never gets old. Coca-Cola, you know, Coke Zero for me, of course. And you'll have a sweet sip of it as well, and you'll look at me dead in the eyes and you'll say, I'm not impressed. I'm not impressed by this. And I'll say, What about the kind of years of work that's gone into, you know, revising, refining this formula and reducing the sugar over time as nations introduce new sugar taxes and rules about sugar consumption? What about when they still manage to keep that sweet, sweet Coca-Cola taste? And all the work, all of the advertising that's gone into it hasn't taken away from the sweet, sweet Coca-Cola taste that the product has. And there I am sipping away thinking, what a lovely day, the feel of the breeze in my cheeks, Coca-Cola. And the grass under my legs, Coca-Cola. And there you are, and you're sipping it, and you're saying, I'm not impressed by this at all, because it's a formula. And what I expect is every time I I open a new canned drink, that there's something new about that, that it's unique, yeah? That they haven't relied on a formula that people like and people want and people are actually asking for. And I'm not impressed by even really, really high level version of that. We're not talking virgin cola on the plane, my guy. We're talking sweet, sweet Coca-Cola. Do you know what I'm getting at?
I know what you're saying, but like, I mean, directors and films aren't sugary drinks.
Yes, they are.
The difficulty and impressiveness of making a film, every time I shit on a film, I have to take it as read. If people don't take it as read that I'm impressed that it's got made, then they're not listening.
Sure.
I can't say that. In my opinion, oh, I know how hard it is to make a film, blah, blah, blah. Fuck's sake, let's all grow up. Let's put some fucking grown-up underpants on. Mm. Alexander Payne's earlier movies are far more interesting.
Sure.
And
well, we're going to do one of his later ones soon, aren't we?
Because
I'm going to get, I'm getting you on it as soon as I can. George is coming back.
I'll open that door and let you come strolling in.
In which case, let's have that conversation once I've strolled into your open Alexander Payne door.
But let's put pop a pin in the holdovers. It's a very well done film. Very impressive. Didn't make me cry. Didn't make me cry the second time round.
Okay. I wept a little. I got a little weepy.
Of course you did.
Sure. I love Coca-Cola.
What else have you watched?
I watched Long Shot. I rewatched Long Shot, which has Seth Rogen in it as well as what's her face?
Charlize Theron.
It's really good, man. It kind of fucks itself towards the end, but up until the last 15 minutes, 20 minutes, it's one of the great rom-coms of the last 20 years. I'll go as far as to say that it isn't overall because of the last 15-20 minutes.
Wow!
But it really could have been.
I forget what happens in the last 20 minutes. I don't remember.
I won't say.
I don't remember being that bothered by it, but I will give it a rewatch because I remember being pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, man. Do you know what it is? I totally believe their relationship in it. That, you know, the film starts with this hilarious notion that Seth Rogen could ever be in a relationship with Charlize Theron, and it increases the stakes by having him as a kind of lowly stoner journalist and her as the Secretary of State for America. And yet, within 20 minutes of the film starting, I totally believe their relationship. That, I think that's all down to the performances and the dialogue. Congratulations to everyone involved. Apart from that, I had a great sojourn into The Two Popes with Anthony Hopkins and Jonathan Pryce. Really enjoyed that. A bustling conversation with my wife afterwards about it, but worth a watch at some point. And I at 2 a.m. one night when I was struggling to sleep, I thought, I'll stick a little bit of a film on. I'll watch for half an hour. I was ill and coughing a lot, so I slept in the different room to my wife, and I thought, well, I'll stick a bit of telly on, you know, and then maybe drift off. I accidentally put on Kramer versus Kramer, which I'd never seen before, Adam, and I couldn't stop it. It was very stressful, and I couldn't finish it the next day, so I had to just keep watching until 4 a.m. or whatever. And good Lord, what an absolutely amazing film, very moving, sad all round, best Hoffers, and also I thought you must love it.
Well, I only saw it for the first time maybe 2 years ago, which is, as for a cineast, for me to say that,
sure.
You know, I'm going to have to hand in my card, aren't I? They're going to have to say, sorry, mate, you're not part of the club. You've only just seen Kramer versus Kramer.
Yeah.
Oh, dear, that's embarrassing. Hello?
Hello, is that... Mr. Richmond?
Yeah, speaking.
Hi, Mr. Richmond. This is Jonathan here from the cineast community of England and Wales. Not Ireland. Not Ireland. We're required to say that. I'm sorry, Mr. Richmond.
It's okay.
I've received a somewhat concerning report that I have to follow up here. Can I ask you a couple of questions? Do you mind if you've got a moment?
I'm a bit busy. My kids, I've got to put dinner on for the kids, but yeah, okay.
I am sorry, Mr. Richmond. It is quite important and urgent. Mm. Question number one. Have you seen Kramer versus Kramer?
Yeah, no, I watched that. Watched that last year, maybe 2 years ago.
Okay, and was that for the first time, Mr. Richmond?
Oh yeah, no, I hadn't seen it before. It's always been on my list, and then I just hadn't seen it, hadn't got round to it. It seemed like I'd seen it referenced in things like The Simpsons, and it just felt like one of those old, dusty, silly films that I didn't really need to. It's about divorce, and it seems like, oh, you know, it's probably Oscar gone over-egged. Yeah. Oh, Oscar, like if anything, mm-hmm. you know, Jonathan, when a film has won an Oscar, and it kind of you just think, actually, that mm-hmm. puts me off it. You know, it's a bit it seems like a little bit of a, like Ordinary People. Ordinary People, that won an Oscar. Who cares about Ordinary People, right? Uh-huh. So the same with Kramer versus Kramer. It just felt like, oh, this isn't important, is it?
Right.
Mr. Richmond.
Let's just
pop it on the back burner. But I've watched it. I saw it.
Sorry to interrupt you there, Mr.
That's okay. Sorry. Can I just
confirm your age, Mr. Richmond?
I'm in my 40s. I'll say that. Mm-hmm.
And you've had your cineast card for how long? When did you first sign up for membership?
Well, I probably would have got it when I was about 15.
Mm, that's what I've got here. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
You know.
Now, I'm sorry to say, Mr. Richmond, I'm sorry to cut you off again. I know that's not part of the rules here, but I am sorry to say that I'm going to have to ask you to hand your card in. And I know that's not something that you're going to want to hear, but you have been warned before. Okay. I have records here of several letters sent to you over the last two decades.
Is this about 2001 again?
Yes, it is. That's one of the letters that were sent to you.
I'm sick of this. You guys keep calling me up and you start saying things like, oh, we've heard that you didn't like 2001. Yep. Give us your card back.
You were sent a letter about that in March 2019.
I'm actually tearing it up. You know, here, listen to this.
Right.
Right, that's me tearing up my fucking card.
Good.
I'm going to put it in the mail. You can shove it up your fucking ass. I'm not interested. I don't want to be part of your club. Mm-hmm. I hate you. Yep. I hate everyone you know.
Thank you.
And good day, sir.
If you were locked in a room for the rest of your life, who would be in there with you? Doris. Who's Doris? Best girl and my girl will marry one day.
Is she in Lynn?
Yes.
In Massachusetts?
Yes, sir.
Why'd you with
her? I'm an idiot.
Why'd you with that lovely girl?
I got no reason, I'm a fool.
Do you love Doris?
Yes.
Is she the love of your life?
Yes, sir.
Why aren't you with her?
I don't know.
Yes, you do. Tell me why you're not with her if you love her so much.
I told her I'd come back and I never went back and now I gotta get back to her.
Why don't you go back?
I don't know.
It's a good flick, isn't it?
What are we talking about?
Kramer versus Kramer.
Oh, yeah, it's really good. I've just seen the time. So long. We've been talking for so long, haven't we?
Let's move into the section of the show where we will read out some listener email correspondence.
Absolutely. I've prepared a few of the emails that were written in to us. The first one references the jingle that you've just heard, listener. That jingle was not written by me. It was written by Gareth, one of our listeners, who wrote a jingle inspired by our Michael Caine one, you know, the ruby the size of a tangerine. But instead, Gareth uses a clip from the film The Master. So you may have already heard it in the Boogie Nights episode as well. Thank you, Gareth. That was genuinely a great jingle. Really enjoyed it. And he's in an email, Adam. He's given us a full use of it. So I've got to try and monetize it and make £1 million from it.
Well, I haven't heard the email because Joe is behind on his editing stream. So
sure.
Gareth, love it. Great work. I can't wait to hear it.
Right. Love it. Can't wait to hear it. Absolutely. You are going to like it.
I love it. Seriously, though, that is pretty fantastic.
Someone sending in
a jingle.
Absolutely.
It's heartwarming. So
it's very heartwarming. It is. Thanks, Gareth. Gazza. Anyway, Gazza. Next up, Joe Blundell. Joe Blundell, this is just a message to let you know that Adam has replied to your email, but apparently your inbox is full. Who knew that could even happen still? Obviously a popular guy.
Joe Blundell.
Yeah.
Fuck me.
Very popular guy. Either that or Joe Blundell is just writing into every podcast and every podcast is replying. But your inbox is full, Joe Blundell. So sort it out, mate. Christ alive. This day and age. It's a Gmail account as well. I don't know how he's managed it. Signing up to everything possible. Romo Sikdar says, here's a quote: loved your comment on Oliver Reed in the Gladiator episode and whether he stuck in some improv characters. Loved your comment on Oliver Reed. Romo is referring to our Gladiator 2 episode, by the way, Adam. Loved your comment on Oliver Reed and whether he stuck in some improv in character when he irritably asks, do you remember this line, how long it takes for his giraffe to get in? How long does it take to get my bloody giraffe in the, you know, in the building or whatever? Turns out, yes. Romo checked the original script. That was a bit of improv. And apparently they left something out as well. What they didn't include was him manhandling a lion into a cage and giving it a spank. And Romo thinks that Oliver would have nailed that as well. Great little fact.
Good stuff, thank you. When you just read out stuff and I'll just go, yeah, love it.
I kind of like the idea of you saying, though, I'd love to see Oliver Reed manhandle a lion or something. You know, something you could do with that. Or
oh, okay.
Another actor you would like to handle a peacock or, you know, something like that. I think you've got it in you. You've got it in you.
I don't think I do. You're now puppeteering my comedic
efforts. Sorry, I was trying. I thought maybe you didn't.
You thought I'd be funnier than I am. No. I guess what, I'm not. So... yeah,
give it a try though. If you were to do it, yeah,
I'd love to see Oliver Reed handle a peacock. Yeah, it just doesn't sound like something I'd say.
No, I thought you might say, you know, oh, that sounds fun. You know what they cut out of the film Almost Famous was when Jimmy Fallon, you know, squeezed a ferret into the exhaust pipe of the bus. You know, that sort of thing.
Right. It sounds like these things you'd say if I was reading out these things.
Right.
And I wouldn't. I would never say that.
What would you say to that?
Thank you, but I have nothing to offer.
Siavesh sent in a lovely email. A nice list of recent viewings that Siavesh has watched. Lots of very serious films on this list there were. But then there was the film that popped up. Do you remember the film Ghost Ship?
I never saw it.
No. Well, it came up recently on an episode of, a couple of months ago, an episode of the TIFO podcast, and Siavesh thought, I'll give that a watch. Siavesh's one-word review for Ghost Ship? Mediocre. Which seems reasonable, doesn't it?
It's
not very good.
Looks bad.
Yeah, it's quite scary. I thought it was scary, but then I think everything's scary, so...
I heard a bit of that TIFO podcast. You hilariously discuss... the nature of what a ghost ship is. As soon as you stand on a ghost ship, it ceases to be a ghost ship. I was like,
right.
Fucking hell. And you guys milk it for 10 minutes. It's like, just sure. Talk about football. Just talk about football. And no, you're chuckling away. I mean, it's the same way anyone would listen
to
this podcast.
That's what all the comments
go,
said as well.
Just listen. Just talk about films, mate. Just talk about films. Why is there another fucking conversation, pretend conversation with someone? Why is someone urinating on someone? For fuck's sake, just talk about the movie.
Well, let's talk about killing. We know it's using the air shaft. Will you listen to me? Shut up!
One, two, three, four.
Read out something nice about our podcast.
Well, there was a great list of potential plums sent in from John Powell. Just wanted to say thanks to John. And then Declan wrote in with an amazing two recommendations for the communal list, one of which I think might go straight to the top of the list, as and when you fail to get me and we have to go to the communal list. I think that one. It's a film I heard you talking to someone about the other day, and so I think you might be up for it. But also Declan added this for you specifically, Adam. He said, Adam, I too have a weak chin and have therefore grown a beard. Do not feel bad about your humongous chin. We are safe under our hairy safety blankets. We are not so different, you and I. You will be in my thoughts. That's from Declan to you.
Yeah, thanks. I like it.
Yeah. Does it make you feel good?
I don't like any, it's just, I don't like any mention of it, but I'll have to pretend that I do.
Sure, sure. Yeah. Jose, or Jose, depending on whether Jose or Jose is from a Portuguese language country of origin or a Spanish language country of origin, wrote in to ask if you, saying Looper is the only good performance Joseph Gordon-Levitt has ever given, means that Brick is out of the question for this podcast.
I love this because it makes me... I love saying stuff in the heat of the moment, having no... giving it no thought.
Yeah.
Brick for me is canon, forgot you forgot. I will do Brick any day of the week on this podcast.
Okay, okay. Well, maybe Brick can be in number two position on the communal list then. Thanks, Jose. Thanks, or Jose, again, depending on the language spoken.
What I really like about Jose's email there is there's a hint of a needle there.
Yeah, yeah, there's a needle.
But it's not.
No.
There's no ill intent.
No.
It's a lovely little friendly... Oh.
There's no chance of Hep C, you know?
You think... Well, you know, you're going to say that about Brick. And it would be very easy for me to just double down and go, yeah, fuck Brick. What a load of shit. I saw Brick once when it came out. I've got no memory whether he's good in it or bad in it. I think he's probably fine in it. But Jose is just... It's like a lovely, fine little thing. Love it.
It's a very well... poised comment email, isn't
it? Perfect.
Yeah, very short email as well. I enjoyed that one. Here's a really long email from 333. 333 sent us in their pick one list, which I'm going to read some of the films to because I thought you would enjoy it, right? 2000, stop me when you want to stop me, okay?
Do you want to tell the listeners what Pick One is?
Absolutely, I will. Pick One is our format where we go through the years of 2000 all the way up to 2024, and each of us, Adam and I, pick one film, our favourite film or the best film or whatever, from that year. Pick one. You can only have one, right? And some listeners sent us in their Pick One lists as well. So, Adam, I'm just going to tell you to just interrupt me when you want me to stop, okay? Otherwise, I'm going to carry on because there's a few here. 2000, Shadow of the Vampire. 2001, Shrek. 2002, Ken Park. 2003, Old School. 2004, Shrek 2. Jesus. 2005, The New World. 2006, Click. 2007, Shrek the Third. Yeah. 2008, Zach and Miri Make a Porno. Then it takes a weird swerve. 2009, Antichrist. 2010, The King's Speech.
Right, okay.
Yeah, decent. 2011, Melancholia, or Melancholia. Ooh,
okay. Right,
on,
right, you know, right, right, okay.
2012, Compliance. I don't know what that film is. What's that film?
I never saw it because it seemed so oppressive. It's based on a true life case of a woman working at a fast food place and a guy calls in pretending to be someone's supervisor and effectively gets other workers there to effectively assault her,
right?
Because it's all to do with, like,
sounds horrible.
The power of suggestion and who's in charge, and you know that test where, you know, you push a buzzer to electrocute someone.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And because it's all the authority, it's about authority, and if someone's got a clipboard or whatever.
Yeah.
And this happened in real life, and they made a film about it. Oh. I don't want to watch that.
Okay. Well, 2013, Adore. 2014, Inherent Vice. 2015, The Revenant. 2016, Hacksaw Ridge. 2017, Thor Ragnarok. 2018, Green Book. 2019, Little Women. 2020, I'm Thinking of Ending Things. 2021, The King's Man. 2022, Avatar, The Way of the Water. 2023, Napoleon. And 2024, Twisters. What a strange list, huh?
What's the person called?
333.
Yeah, some people just have different tastes,
right?
To me, I might have chuckled during that list. It was mainly to do with, like, because, you know, I've shat on Shrek before.
Yeah, yeah.
And
Click.
Never seen Click.
I think you shat on it though.
Well, because just the notion of Click is laughable.
It's quite good. I think it's quite good.
Everything. It's really hard not to make fun of stuff, isn't it?
Well, I can help you out here because...
No, because I don't know who they are and it's unfair and I don't want to be that kind of person. People like what they like, so that's their pick ones, you know?
You're revealing yourself as a very nice person now, Adam, because a month after sending this email, 333 sent... Because we didn't reply. 333 sent another email saying, please don't be angry at my list. I thought you guys would read it and laugh. I was hoping that Adam would call me a little piggy cunt.
Oh, great. Okay. A little piggy cunt.
Yeah. So you can call him that if you want. He's given you permission.
333, you're a little piggy cunt, mate.
There we go. There we go. Yeah. And then 333 sent in their real list, which I will not read because I don't care about it. But thanks for that. That was funny. I did laugh at that. Joseph sent in a great video about ADR after our chat about ADR when you got really annoyed with me and then thought that it didn't have to be explained. And it's a great video. It's on a channel called Trago. The guy's voice is amazing. Yes, it is, Joseph. It really is. I'll put a link to that in the show notes in case anybody wants to watch it, if only just to hear that guy's incredible voice. So thank you for that, Joseph. Cass Vandelaar emailed in again to say, Cass Vandelaar sent in a great musical recommendation based on our jingles, which I haven't shared with you yet, Adam, but I will do. Band called Headache, specifically an album called The Head Hurts But The Heart Knows The Truth. It's really good, man. It's got a lot of incidental vocal samples on it, and it does sound quite a lot like our jingles in places. It's really fun to listen to. So if you like our jingles, go and listen to the band Headache. Hit that album up. Thanks, Cass. And then just a couple other quick ones. These two relate to the same topic, Adam. Do you remember when we talked about not being able to find a film that had just used the music of one musical artist from one of their albums unconnected to the movie?
That's very recent, yeah. Just very closer.
Yeah, well, two people sent in correspondence about this. One of them technically not in an email because Jendo messaged me. But Jacob first said Leonard Cohen's songs of Leonard Cohen in McCabe and Mrs. Miller, apparently.
Right, yeah. Right, yeah.
And then Jendo said, Incendies. How do you call that?
Incendies. The Incendies. Denis Villeneuve movie. Is that Denis? No, it's
yeah,
not
it
Denis.
Is. It's the early Denis Villeneuve movie. Which
do not like that movie.
According to Jendo, only uses music from Radiohead's Amnesiac. He said it doesn't work at all. It's just a black mark against what is otherwise a very good film.
I don't know about very good. Depressing.
Sure. Jendo loves depressing shit, though. So, you know, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? His dad's dead.
I didn't even review it. I just gave it 2 stars.
Oh.
Just gave it 2 stars.
2 stars. Yeah.
Didn't care for it. Felt quite deliberately manipulative and harrowing.
Yeah, tell him. Tell Jendo.
For the sake of it.
Say it to him now.
No, because he's been really nice, generally. So, yeah. I'm not going to say.
He said the podcast has been good recently.
I got a lovely message from the only little bit of letterbox stuff I'll say on my closer review. Jendo actually said, for some reason, I saw this in the cinema with a group of friends when I was like 17 and not at all mature enough to appreciate it. And all I remember is Clive Owen aggressively asking, did you come? Which is a hell of a soul memory to have. And then Tom G, he said, thanks for a great knock knock joke. And that was to me.
Yeah.
Because I love my knock knock joke.
That's nice.
That's nice, nice, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's like a nice comment I've got.
Well, we've got a couple of nice reviews, recent reviews of our podcast. One of my faves, couple of nice boys. I like it when Adam sometimes respects a Joe opinion, but I like it most when they bicker about something completely inane and irrelevant, and then remember there's a movie to forget to remember. That's nice. So please do leave reviews because they help new people be subjected to us. You can do that if you're listening on Apple. It's very helpful if you leave one on Apple there or on Spotify. You can give us a rating, and then I think you can leave little comments on individual episodes. We check those out as well. That they're always appreciated. Thank you. And thanks for listening, you know, as usual. It's always good to read your emails, even if it does take us a while to get back to them. They usually appear in an episode. And I notice that Adam takes time to reply to them, albeit months later often.
Yeah, I did. I did reply to quite a few. But sometimes people's mailboxes are full.
Yeah.
So, you know, Clean out your inboxes.